Chapter 22. Emma. I suppose it shouldn't be a surprise that beings made in the image of a humanly incomprehensible God would be complicated, but I still get baffled by how much I don't understand man. After the game night, whatever reserve Jason had about Carter disappeared, and while I'm certain he's still watching out for me, ready to hold me accountable to living according to the beliefs we share, he isn't frowning at me whenever I leave the office for lunch anymore. We'd taken to sitting together in church for weeks now, but I had always ended up between Carter and Jason. The two Sundays since game night, I've been flanked by Carter and Trina, as Jason sat on the other side of Carter and discussed everything from graphic design to basketball. That last one really baffles me, as to my knowledge, I've never seen either of them watch a game, and yet they carried on a 5-minute conversation about it. When I asked Carter about that, he just shrugged and said he gets a collection of emails every week that give him recaps on things he often finds himself talking about at social gatherings. Speaking of social gatherings, my mother wants to know why I haven't attended any with them in a while. I've ducked out of every cultural encounter since Amy's fashion party. Me. I've been really busy with work. The new project is taking up a lot of time. Not a lie. Also, not the whole truth. Of course, I haven't been telling my mother the whole truth for about 10 years now, but it didn't start bothering me until I knew how much it bothered Amy. Speaking of Amy, I open the file in which I've gathered a ton of get-to-know-you questions and copy the next one so I can send it to her. Me. Aside from necessities, what's one thing you can't go a day without? This is actually a hard one for me, because I want to say something that will make me look good, like prayer or my Bible. But I promised myself I'd be honest in this attempt to mend the rift with Amy. Me. My phone. Looks like I need to take some time and revisit my own priorities. My phone buzzes as Mother and Amy answer at the same time.
Amy.
Coffee.
Although at this point, that might be a necessity.
Mother. There's a new opera opening next month. I can get us access to a box. The good news about a box is she wouldn't be burning money on a ticket for me if I back out at the last minute. I've done it before. I can't bring myself to commit to doing it again. I'm not sure if it's the fact that Amy would know what I did, or the idea that I want to see if opera is something Carter enjoys. If it is, then maybe? At some point, he's going to have to meet my mother. It might as well be somewhere she can't actually talk to him. Me. Maybe. Can you send me the details when you know? I might bring a friend. I delete and retype that last sentence twice before hitting send. A chill sweeps over my skin. Am I sweating? I shiver and toss my phone on the desk. I'll wait to ask Carter when I know the details. For now, I need to get back to work. I'm behind, but I'm learning how to make it work. I got started at 6 this morning so I would have more time to plow through tasks with access to all the notes and tools I usually use. It isn't just my afternoons at Carter's that haven't been as productive. It's the additional mornings I've been spending at the office. I don't know why it feels better to go to Carter's from the office, but it does. Unfortunately, I just don't get as much done there. People are very distracting. I yawn and rub my eyes before adding a test run to my afternoon task list. Those are easy to do without all my notes around me. I just jot the issues I find in my notebook and work from there. After double-checking that I've completed everything anyone else is waiting on from me, I turn to the museum project. Somewhere along the line, this became as much about proving something to myself as it was proving something to my mother. I wasn't so sure I could do this when I first put my foot in my mouth, but I truly think I've come up with something that's interesting, usable, and, well, cool. The experience isn't making me want to ask Jason for a lateral move or anything, but it's nice to learn I can do more than I thought I could. By noon, I've pushed through most of my tasks for the day
and all that's left to do is start loading in the data for the test gallery on my museum tour guide prototype. There can't be anywhere better for doing that than an artist studio. Has Carter thought about giving me a key? Probably. I know I've thought about asking. Having a key, though, seems like a very next-level thing. Maybe even a next-next-level thing, seeing as we still haven't had that what-are-we-doing-here conversation. No longer seeing each other would certainly require a breakup, though. I park my car and walk to the door. Two steps away, I freeze. Hanging from the doorknob is a small game controller, the kind that attaches to the side of my favorite gaming console. Above the doorknob is a bright orange post-it with "It's open" written on it. How hard does a heart have to beat before it's considered a heart attack? Because I think I might be getting close. I can't stop swallowing as I remove the controller and the sticky note before turning the doorknob. I don't even bother with my green Crocs. I just step out of my black ones and drop my bag to the bench because in the opening to the hall is a copy of my favorite racing game. I add it to the bundle in my arms. The second controller is hanging on the door to his studio. No. He couldn't have. Getting a console for his living room would have been enough to send me to the moon. If he put it in his studio, that would mean... My stomach drops into my socks. What would that mean? There's no more swallowing because my mouth is utterly and completely dry as I open the door to the studio. He told me to stop taking my watch off weeks ago, but walking in with my phone in my pocket feels wrong. Then, of course, there's my armful of video game accessories. The working side of his studio hasn't been touched. Everything is neat and orderly and cleaner than any space that sees that much paint every day should be. On the other side of the room, though, where his couch once sat as an island of peaceful contemplation, is a whole new world. The couch is still there. One end maintains an unencumbered view out the floor-to-ceiling windows. But the other end, it's like a miniature version of my office. A 27-inch flat-screen TV is secured to the top of a low two-shelf cart. On the bottom shelf, next to a wireless keyboard and mouse, is a cable dangling off the side, ready to be plugged into a laptop. The rest of the gaming console sits in a docking station next to the TV. In front of it are three more of my favorite games. Those, plus the one in my hand, are the ones I play so often I just leave the cases sitting open on top of my storage console. He was in my apartment for a single evening, and he noticed all this? My eyes start to burn, but the tears don't spill over until I realize what the large, multi-paneled screen beside the couch is. I'd first thought it was to block the view of the electronics from the painting area, but the backside of the panels are actually whiteboards surrounded by cork. A basket of 24 colored post-it pads and a box of thumbtacks is on the floor in front of the screen. This little corner of Carter's world has everything I need. Except Carter. I dump the game and controllers on the couch, prepared to go on a hunt for my man. With evidence like this to back me up, I think I can follow Jason's directive to just inform Carter he is now my boyfriend. As I'm turning from the couch, though, I see a lime green sticky note on the gaming console. Play me. I'm torn. I want to go find Carter, to tell him this is too much, to tell him we can go to the opera or the museum or a gala on the moon, and I don't care how many fancy dresses I have to beg Amy to fit me for. I know he's been skipping events or, when he absolutely must attend, going without me. No more. If he can bring video games into his studio, even if temporarily since the cart is sized to be pushed down the hall to the office, I can go to a social. But I also want to honor his wishes. He went through a lot of work and expense to put all this together. If he wants me to play it before I thank him, that's what I'll do. I turn everything on and load in a game. I could connect to the Wi-Fi and log into my account, but it feels better to start fresh. This is a completely blank slate console, and I want it to feel as clean and neat as the room it's sitting in. I'm almost finished with the fourth race in the set when I feel him enter the room. I'm not sure where he came from because I didn't hear a door or anyone on the stairs, but I can feel him there. My orange animated car rolls over the finish line, and before the game can congratulate me, I'm looking at him. The words to say thank you don't come because words aren't enough. For what I know this cost him, it's too much, too big, too important. Even as I'm smiling the biggest smile I'm capable of, because I have never felt more seen or cared for in my life, tears are pooling in the corners of my eyes. I'm going to have all the high scores, you know. My voice is merely a whisper because I desperately want to convey to him what this means to me. But I don't know if he'll understand. I've never had a console where I had all the high scores.
Emma.
That one word from Carter sounds almost reverent, and a tear spills over my lashes and rolls down my cheek. He's smiling too, as he sits on the couch next to me.
Will you be my girlfriend?
I look around the nest he's created for me. I think I already am. I can't stand looking anywhere but at him, so I immediately swing my head back to face him. But if you need to hear it, yes. Yes, I will. One of his hands reaches up to cup the side of my face. He's done this before. Looked at me like this before. But always as if the moment caught him unaware. Like he did it before he could stop himself. This time, it's very obviously deliberate.
I'm going to kiss you now.
He whispers. I think that would be a very good idea. And then he does. He presses his lips to mine, and although I've experienced a few other kisses in my life, I will happily and easily forget them all and consider this the most ultimate kiss that ever existed. The game controller tumbles to the floor as I reach my own hands up and allow my fingers to comb through his hair. I didn't even realize I'd been saving that for this moment, but I had, because it would mean his head was close to mine. That he'd gotten down into my space. His light chuckle breaks the mood and I pull back to look at him, my finger still trailing through his long hair. What?
You're smiling.
So are you. He has a massive, big tooth-showing smile.
Yeah, but you were smiling while I was kissing you.
Kissing you makes me happy.
Then I'll get used to funny-feeling kisses.
Then his mouth presses to mine once more and I have to recalibrate because this one is the most ultimate kiss ever. He sits back a little and wraps one of my hands in his. For several moments, we just stare at each other. Then he leans down and scoops up the controller I dropped.
You want to show me how to play this thing?
I hug the controller to me and look from him to the television. I can't. Why? He blows out a long breath and slouches into the couch beside me so that his shoulder is pressed snugly against mine.
I needed to see you in here.
I frown because it doesn't make sense. I've been in his space for weeks.
Not just you,
he continues, pointing at me.
But you.
He waves a hand to encompass all the new additions. He shifts so that he's facing me, pulling one knee up onto the sofa. His hands wrap around both of mine and his gaze locks into me as if he's desperate for me to understand what he's about to say.
Your apartment, it's a lot.
I wince. He's not wrong. Compared to his place, it's utter chaos. His grip tightens as he continues.
I need you to know I'm not just dating you for fun. I like you here. Like spending time with you. Like that we can do puzzles and watch documentaries, that we can have a good time but also be serious.
I like that too. I think I know where he's going, and I like it as much as it absolutely terrifies me.
But I don't want to date forever. Eventually, you, me, well...
He nods his head to the side.
We'd be more than boyfriend and girlfriend, and I had to know if I could handle this. Handle you.
He picks up the controller and looks at it.
I had a guy bring all this in this morning. I hadn't seen any of it until a few minutes ago.
His gaze lifts to mine.
If I had a chance of being able to handle it, I had to see it as part of having you in my life.
That's why you wanted me to play it. He nods. I lick my lips. I think I know the answer because otherwise that kissing we just did was a bad idea. But I still have to ask, did it work?
I can't imagine this room any other way now.
I blink at him. Because, seriously, there's not any part of him that wants his electronics free space back.
I'm being serious. When I came in and saw you leaning with the car and yelling at the television, all I could see were possibilities.
I do not remember yelling at the television. I wouldn't put it past me, though.
With this, I can look over and see you whenever I want, whether it's during the workday or in the evening or on a weekend. Doing what I need to do won't have to win over spending time with you.
I'm really behind at work, I admit.
Me too.
He grins at me. I grin at him. And the excitement and fear and happiness and worry threaten to make me ill. So I grab the controller back and turn to the TV. How do you feel about being a plumber?